for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's not Dr. Drew. That's Dr. Alter, who's filling in for Dr. Drew tonight. You remember Dr. Alter from the show some weeks or maybe a couple months back. He does the euphemistically entitled genital reassignment surgery. And although many people, including his parents and the host of the show, think he's insane, he's crazy like a fox because he's board certified in urology and plastic surgery, which makes you smart at the same time as being a little nutty, right?
Well, makes you a lot nutty, and I don't know how smart.
You got to be smart.
Yeah, you got to pass the test. You got to do the stuff.
Here's the thing, and we'll get into that. AJ and Alan both here from Lit tonight. Jeremy and Kevin will be coming in from Lit a little bit later tonight. We're doing the old swap thing. Well, welcome back to the
show,
by the way.
Thank you. Thanks for having us back.
Good guys. Lit, good band, and it's been too long.
Thanks,
so, Mazel tov. As my people don't say.
When did you join the tribe?
Well, here's when I turned Jewish, when I got into show business. Because when I was swinging a hammer, I sure the hell wasn't Jewish. I was Italian, and now that I'm in show business, it's mazel tov. Yeah. And I got that kind of, I can straddle the fence, you know. I could go Italian, I could go Jew. It just depends how much manual labor I do or how much I complain or how much food I send back. I could send myself in either direction. So tonight, I go Jew.
Well, you're very talented.
Thank you. Yeah.
Like a lot nicer gifts that way, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I missed out on that whole bar mitzvah thing. All right, so Lit is here. Lit is a band that's been around for 15 years, had some phenomenal success in that 15 years, and is, I don't know if I want to call it the comeback trail, but is reemerging, is on the scene. Back with
it all sounds good to me.
Is that all good?
Yeah, we just put out a new record on, it'll be a week Tuesday, tomorrow. So we're stoked about that. It's a self-titled album, our fourth.
We'll hear a couple cuts off that, one in the 10 o'clock hour and the other in the 11 o'clock hour. But go ahead, AJ, cool. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, new record.
Well, that's it.
That's it.
I'll tell you what you can do, by the way. The guys are going to be on the Carson Daly Show coming up on July 14th and then also on CNN on Thursday. But you can just go to www.litlounge.com, one word, litlounge.com, and you can get all the information, tour dates, and all that kind of stuff so you can go out and see Lit because Lit is coming to a town near you, yes?
Yes, we are. We're going to be touring our butts off all summer long.
And Dr. Alter's going nowhere. He will not be anywhere around you. But what are you doing, Alter? Have you done any reassignment lately?
I do that. I do a lot of things. I don't just do
reassignment. No, I know.
I mean, I do everything. Cosmetic surgery and all kinds of genital problems.
I know. The plastic surgeons like to focus on the good that they do, but I like the evil in the novel.
I wouldn't call it evil.
Well, not
but
evil,
in your,
not
you know,
evil. In God's right. eyes, but not. I can't judge, and I'm an atheist.
Well, you're not a judging
judge.
Kind of guy.
I don't judge.
I know.
I've
been
judge.
Through this judging bit.
No, I don't judge.
never have,
but
never
does,
will.
But he does.
Well, yeah,
he
well,
does.
He, right.
Okay. Well, let's hope he doesn't. It's a good thing what you do. But I'm just saying, I talked to a lot of plastic surgeons. I like to focus on the boob jobs and the nose jobs and the genital reassignment surgery. They want to focus on helping the burn victims and the orphans with the cleft palates. To me, that's good work that they're doing, but it's not as easy for me to make fun of. So I like to focus on you know, what I call the more bizarre end of the business.
Well, lay it on us.
All right. So,
Kevin's going to have some good questions for you, I'm sure,
what is
a bass
the
player.
Reassignment.
Well, he basically he's talking about sex change.
Oh.
That's what it means.
Doctor,
I was halfway interested in it now.
You thought maybe you'd move it,
kind of
you move it around.
Doesn't it? Right.
Yeah. And there's certain things on the menu, like steak tartare. Sounds great. And then, it's just raw hamburger meat with a quail egg in it. Oh, no, forget it. It sounded great, steak tartare, but no, it's raw. I don't want it now. Yeah, that's what genital reassignment sounds like.
You have
genital reassignment, some steak tartare. Sign me up. Yeah, no, just bring it on. I'll... No, whatever it is, surprise me.
What are you allowed? What do you refer to this as on radio now? What's
genital reassignment?
Genitals. I mean, you know, would you call your male part?
You can call it your penis, your honker, your dork.
Like it.
I'm a physician. You can say whatever you want.
That's right.
Well, like the reassignment at first, and like for a layman, I guess it would sound like you're moving it to like your side of your stomach or something.
Well, let me explain.
Repositioning it.
Let the expert talk.
He just wrote a few books.
What do I know?
I'll tell you what you know. Don't worry. Here's the thing about reassignment.
Okay.
Doctor, you'll agree with me on this one. There's certain things in society that are just a little more palatable if we put a nicer term to them, such as when a woman donates an egg for $5,000. You see what I'm saying? It's not donating for $5,000. It's a woman selling her eggs for $5,000. But she feels like she feels trashy. No one wants to say, I'm selling this for, so I'm donating an egg for $5,000.
It's like charity.
Genital reassignment. You don't want to say junk being lopped off. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth. So we call it genital reassignment.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't Sounds lop it off. We kind of reposition.
You reposition it. Yeah.
So you have to pull it out from pretty far.
If you were doing this to AJ, for instance, how would it work? If just physiologically.
Take a couple guys, first of all.
You have to hold him down. Yeah.
Do you want me to explain the surgery?
How
do I do the surgery?
Yeah, typical male to female, which is, you know, the lion's share of the reassignment
work. In other words, you're asking how I do the operation. Well, the way it's done is, at least the way I do it, is the vagina is made out of the skin of the penis.
Right.
And also, to make it deeper, is you take some of the skin from the scrotum. Okay? And you make a space. There's a potential space that you have to dissect out between the rectum and the bladder.
Mm-hmm.
So you make that space, and then you invert the skin of the penis.
Right.
And you add on some of the scrotal skin that you've removed from the scrotum.
The
vagina.
How many stages? Is this one?
One.
This is an evening. I mean, afternoon or?
Well, it's more than a morning. It's morning into mid-afternoon.
So, I mean,
part of it. I make a clitoris.
Sure.
So that there's sensation. So what I do is I take a little portion of the head of the penis, and I keep all the nerves attached, and I keep the vessels attached, so it's living.
That's nice.
Oh, my God.
Okay, and then I put it where a normal clitoris is, because the head of the penis and the clitoris they're the same, they come from the same origin embryologically when you're a fetus. So if you save the nerves and a little piece of the head of the penis, you can make sensation there, and and these women are orgasmic.
Now what about the urethra?
You cut it off
naturally,
of course.
Yeah,
where a normal female urethra would be.
Okay, so again, we're just talking AJ.
Do you have the book here?
Thanks for using me as an example.
Wait, bring out the book or show the photos.
The thing about that book is it hurts teeth that I don't even have. It hurts my baby teeth. It hurts teeth that I haven't had since the fourth grade.
Right.
That's watching. And you got to see the book. They're pulling skin out of forearms and stuff.
Here it is.
Oh,
here it is. You guys have been, you know, you keep it.
Okay, so AJ comes in and you start operating at noon.
No, we like to start early.
Let's just call it noon for the sake of math.
Start it now.
Okay. You're starting at noon.
I'll sleep in.
First move is...
First move is to remove some of the skin of the scrotum that I'm going to use to make the vagina.
You put it aside.
Does the hair stay on the scrotum while it's...
Excellent question.
Good question.
Excellent, because you don't want a hairy vagina.
No.
So what we do is the patients have undergone electrolysis first.
Electrolysis.
Okay. Exactly.
All the hair is then removed from the scrotum, so it's like Mr. Clean's head.
Absolutely.
And you then remove a portion and put it aside. What do you put it in?
You put it in a sponge that's soaked in salt water, saline, or it's kind of blood soaked, so that it stays damp.
Where do you get the blood? A thousand virgins? No. You get the blood from the patient earlier?
Yeah. No, it's just, it's just pretty much usually put it in just saline.
All right, so you set the scrotum aside.
Then the second thing you do,
right.
And I know this is going to make you cross your legs.
This is going to be good.
You remove the testicles.
Remove the testicles.
Okay.
All right, now the testicles removed. Where do those go? Garbage disposal?
Those
go out, right?
Those are gone.
Gone. Wrist rocket into the neighbor's yard?
They go to the pathologist.
Okay, keep an eye on
them. Have you ever asked to save those? Do people want to ever keep them in a jar or anything?
I had one ask, but we didn't, let them keep
them. You won't do that?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, let's
really demented.
Let's not get crazy here, fellas.
I mean, come on.
Wow. Yeah.
These pictures are pretty graphic.
Okay. Yes. All right, so now the scrotum's gone, and the skin's gone. We've removed the testicles. Penis still there. Now the guy wakes up and realizes he's made a horrible mistake. What do you do?
Bad anesthesia.
All right, so he's still under. Where are we, 2 hours into this thing?
No. That's only
10 minutes?
No, that's about a half hour.
Wow.
Not even. 20
all right.
minutes.
All right, so it's all... Okay.
That's easy.
Now the penis is there.
And then I'd make a circumcision incision.
Where, around the penis?
Around... underneath the head of the penis, I go all the way around, make a circumcision incision.
Right. And now what?
And then I free the skin off of the shaft of the penis.
By going down or up with it?
You can kind of go both ways now because you got a hole in the scrotum. So
I see. Yeah, it'll pull
either way. So you free up the penis from the skin.
Right, right.
Okay, so now...
Take it off? Do you physically take it all the way off?
Yeah. And then you've got the erection chambers...
Right.
With the head of the penis all attached.
Right, right.
And you push
it. So it's basically like a deer carcass that has been stripped.
No.
Yes. No, I mean, well, that's what it looks like.
Then you kind of move it away from the skin.
Right.
Okay, so now you've got the skin that's sitting there attached to its blood flow.
Right.
Separated from the erection chambers in the head of the penis.
Right. And now you remove the erection chambers?
Then the next step, actually the way I do it, the next step is we I tie off the base of the erection chamber so that there's not much blood going into it.
What is, when does the sort of augering out of the vaginal cavity
begin?
That's
the next step.
That's where you get in. What is in there, by the way?
There is nothing there.
Nothing there.
No, there's a space there that you spread.
I've always had a feeling I could be more efficient with my gut. You know what I mean? Like there's pockets. Like my body's a closet.
Well, let me put it to you.
There's more space for another
sweater.
Well,
Adam, there is space for a vagina in you.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
Your dream can come true.
Yeah. There's probably some penis space in there.
I get it.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Well, it's too much. I get emails from people. I mean, I get some really bizarre emails from
people
that say, listen, you know, I don't want to be a girl, but I want a penis and a vagina.
Oh, really?
And those go in my section under weirdos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But now and we've...
No, it's, I mean, come on.
Okay, all right. Like, but you know my position. Everybody wants their penis lopped off is insane.
That's right. But that's yours. That's not my
AJ,
position.
You can't do the surgery until the person has been evaluated and, sane. And...
Yeah, the patient has gone through actually years.
Wow.
Of preparation.
Well, not always years.
Yeah. At least a couple years.
Because
what they
doctors.
Have to do is they have to see a psychiatrist for at least a year. They have to live as their chosen sex for at least a year. I mean, that means live full time.
Yeah, we had a guy in here who was telling us they could expedite that whole process.
A little bit, sometimes, in some cases, but usually
you stick
to it. Get
you on the fast track to a new vagina.
That's why he got in the...
I know guys downtown. I could get a vagina in like 9 weeks. I really could. You got to know the right guys.
You got to know
the guys. But they leave the hair on yours.
You got to know the guys in Mexico that'll do it for you. Yeah.
Oh, so, and how many guys are there in Los Angeles who do this?
I'm the only one.
You're the only one.
As far as I know, yeah.
Wow. And we had a guy in here, what was his name, Chris? Eve or Renee? We had Renee in here who was a female who went to male. Who you don't hear about that very often,
and they did
a whole biography about that.
The male to female that was a Showtime.
Yeah,
it was the opposite sex, and the female to male.
Yeah.
I did that show. That was with Jamie, right?
Oh, Okay. Yeah, but this Renee was very bitter, by the way. Didn't seem any happier with the new genitalia.
Nobody's my hero.
Well, let me tell you, he loves Jesus.
So I'll tell you that.
Well, I'll tell you one of the problems with the female. Let's see how Jesus does with him when he shows up at the pearly gates. One of the problems with the female to male is that the expectations.
Yeah, it's hard to make a good penis.
It really is hard to make good penis.
How good could you make a vagina? I mean,
I wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah. I wouldn't know.
You would know.
I wouldn't know.
He might know. And you? I don't know.
I've only seen pictures.
This guy would know.
Well, this guy, they're in a band.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I saw my grandmother once when I was getting out of the pool and her bathing suit slid down. It's been 27 years now. But really, could you do it?
Really good.
Wow.
No, it's really good. In fact, usually one sitting. And then, but sometimes some of the patients want to be, you know, tweaked a little bit.
So they come back for a second. They call it a punch list.
What about like the natural lubrication process? Does that happen still?
Good question. AJ, I'm just trying to lift you. He knows vagina. He's thinking of having you sew one of these into his guitar case when he goes on the road.
Can you make one that's a roadworthy one, like, for instance, put it in an anvil case or something.
You know how long it is to fly to Australia, for instance? You know what I'm saying? That's 12, 13 hours in a plane. These guys are used to breaking some off every 5-6 hours. What about lubrication?
Well, lubrication with the technique where you use the skin, there is no natural lubrication. Think most women, before they have sex, they go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So what happens is a lot of the women will go to the bathroom, and then they'll have a little Astroglide or some kind of lubricant, squirt a little in.
Is that what they do?
No.
Well, that's what his gal pals do.
Just regular women don't lubricate that well either.
Do you think a sober guy could tell a year after you did the procedure on somebody? That particular part. Forget about Adam's apple or voice or anything like that.
I'm telling you that with mine and some of the other people that do them, it's difficult to tell.
Really?
Unless you really know the anatomy.
Wow.
And I will honestly tell you, a lot of guys,
they're
clueless.
Really?
They don't know anatomy.
And didn't you remember, like, there was a Jenny Jones episode 5 years ago where a guy came out, told his neighbor he was gay and had a crush on him. Then his neighbor killed him.
Yes.
And then they sued Jenny Jones. Don't you think one day some guy's going to F some he-she and then find you and try to kill you and blame you? Do you know what I'm saying? Freak out when he finds out afterward and come after you?
I don't think he's going to come after me.
All right. I mean, unfortunately.
Remember when they went to Frankenstein's castle? There has been a lot
They were looking for the doctor, not Frankenstein. They want to get the doctor.
There's been a lot of violence against transsexuals.
Yeah, I think people freak out.
Some people do freak out, and it's really a terrible problem.
Close-minded people, not me.
Of course not.
No, I don't judge.
Never.
He does.
Of course.
I'm pointing up. I don't.
Never.
All right. Well, God bless you and the work that you do. You're doing the Lord's work.
You make vaginas. That's great.
You make vaginas. I do, not a lot of guys could say that.
I do a lot of vaginal surgery on women who want to look prettier down there.
Do you do the surgery where you make, like, after a few kids, or they want it to...
Tightening?
Yeah.
I personally don't do the tightening, but what I do is...
That's too simple.
Like the outer lips...
Right.
Or the inner lips are too big or whatever. I do shaping of that.
Cosmetic stuff, too.
Yeah, cosmetic stuff.
All right.
Right.
What kind of doctor did your parents think you were going to be?
Orthodontist. Okay, we won't get into that.
They're horrible.
I picture the look on
He loves getting on my parents. You know, my mom's listening to this now, so what the heck.
$120,000 worth of college for this.
So you teach as well?
I'm on faculty.
This is your book. Here.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Right. Oh yeah. Justin.
Hello.
You're 18.
Yes, sir.
Wow. You're 18. You sound like an old miner. I've just been swigging out of a jug and yelling, "There's silver in them hills." You're 18, Justin.
Yes, sir.
All right, what's your question?
Yeah, I was wondering, I got this friend Tyler down there, and we were wanting to know if how much it would cost to go from a male genitalia to a female genitalia and plastic surgery, like an average of estimate how much it would cost to go down
All
there
right.
and do that.
How much? What is the average cost? And first, I don't know where you're calling from, but I'm guessing you're going to have to fly out from wherever you are, because I don't think Mr. Haney's going to be able to pull it off, is all I'm saying. Now,
obviously,
and forget about the hormones and the
right,
therapy.
Strictly
and
the surgery.
Just nuts and bolts.
Right. Well, it varies different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, it costs about $27,000. Here.
Reasonable.
Yeah, but, I mean, a lot of people obviously can't afford that, so you have people going to Thailand and Mexico. And it's
27 grand just...
includes everything.
Soup to nuts, as we say in the TV business. It's the beginning to end, but just the junk, the surgical...
Just, right, groin. Including the hospital anesthesia.
Right. But we're not talking about breast implants or hormone therapy or anything like that. Just
That's
27
correct.
Grand just
that.
For
seems
that.
Pretty reasonable. For what they want done, I guess.
It's, yeah. You know, it's a long surgery and 6 days in the hospital.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it's pretty much like artwork as well. I mean, it's like
there is a certain aesthetic aspect to it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it's easy to make fun of for obvious reasons. It's a bizarre profession, but I don't know what could be more difficult. I don't know what could be a taller order on the difficulty scale than taking that and turning into this. You know what I mean? And I don't even I marvel at how people even figured it out when it started. How you learn your technique? Don't tell me. I'm just saying it's sort of like the first guy to eat a lobster. Just sort of who did it first? Who decided it was a good idea? And to me, it seemed like a drunken bet, the lobster and the genital reassignment. All right, Lit is here. Oh, is it too late to hear a song, Anderson? I got all going with Dr. Alter.
I know.
I'll tell you what we're going to do then. We're going to take a break. And Alter's his name.
It's Gary Alter.
Gary Alter.
It's not just... Alter, but that's
yeah, okay. Well, out of respect, I call you doctor.
Well, I appreciate that. I got to get some respect here.
I think people might think that Dr. Alter is like the rug doctor. You know what I mean? Oh, it's not. Yeah. He's not a real rug. That's not his name. He cleans carpets. No, but
no, it's really my name.
Is your name
Gary Alter? Yeah, that's my
his name.
He really is.
That's right.
I was meant to do
You're
this.
To Alter.
I guess.
Where's the rug doctor? Steaming mad at dirt.
A tailor, whatever.
Yeah, Lit here tonight. Name of their CD, Lit, and we'll hear something off it after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Alter. Dr. Gary Alter filling in for Dr. Drew tonight. AJ and Alan both here tonight from Lit. Jeremy and Kevin coming in from Lit in the 11 o'clock hour.
Lit. Where's Dr. Drew?
Yeah, where is Dr. Drew? Dr. Drew is in Boston on a little family vacation. And Dr. Alter came in here to talk about... reassignment some months ago, and frankly, we fell in love with the man.
Well, thanks.
We really did, and a good guy, and a brilliant guy. So he's in here tonight, although you could answer most of the medical questions that popped up, plastic surgery and things of urology and that sort of stuff, genital reconstruction, reassignment. Lots of working on women, and this is a newer subject, the idea of enhancing the female vagina, at least aesthetically, something that didn't exist some years ago. Now, women, there's a lot of women that are self-conscious about that part of their body.
Amazing numbers of women are very self-conscious.
Yeah, I don't think they know that guys are not as, I mean, we look at it. Okay, here's what I'm going to say. A lot of chefs think presentation is more important than the taste of the food. As guys, we don't even look down. We just start eating. Do you know what I'm saying? We want a good steak. I don't care about the garni around it so much. I mean, I don't want the thing to look like it's like someone pounded their fist into it. But I'm just saying, we're not as uptight about presentation as you guys are. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well...
That's a straight thing.
Yeah, but yeah. I think that's to some extent changing a little bit too. I think guys are more aware of the aesthetics down there too. But I will say that most of the women that come to see me, they come to see me because they personally are concerned,
right.
And they are afraid that a guy will be put off by it. Whereas most guys are just glad to be there.
Guys never say anything.
Occasionally, guys do say something.
I've had an experience where it was
not good.
No.
Turns you off.
Bad
turns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
no,
it
really.
Can happen.
It looked
like
a big piece of bubble yum.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was bad.
Wow. Bad. Could have been one of Alter's jobs.
No.
That was a dude.
Early on?
Oh, yeah. That's when he was in junior high. He was still working on some of the bugs.
Piece of bubble yum.
So wow. It can be nasty. It can go south. I'm just saying, oftentimes, women who get freaked out about stuff like stretch marks or asymmetry in the breasts and that sort of stuff, guys don't really
guys don't care most of the time.
Most of the time. But once in a while, you do see something that's needs some work, and that's where Alter steps in. That's right.
I'm there for them if they need me. Yeah,
and then plus it's nice you get all the consultations, all the hot chicks with the eating disorders who don't feel good about themselves coming in, just pow, skirt right over their head. And you're just lucky and scratchy.
Let's see how bad it really is.
Yeah, I give it a 7.
Wait, let me see it again.
Let's give it the taste test.
No, he doesn't do it. Not his thing.
No. That's for dentists.
Follow the book.
All right. listen, a guy could do worse for himself. That's all I'm saying. All right. Who are we talking to? Let's get to the phone. We'll take one call, then we're going to hear a lit song.
Yeah,
right on.
I want to hear a lit song.
Hear some lit song. Danger boob implants. There's Becky. Let's talk to her, see what she's got. Becky?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yeah.
Already thinking about boob implants, huh?
Well, like, I've been talking to my friends and everything, and then they, like, and I've seen it on the internet where, like, they could have, like, problems and, like, stretch marks and stuff.
Yeah, but why are you thinking about it so young?
It's because I've got, like, really small boobs. They're, like, flat.
Mm-hmm. But they could, 14. You know, they could. I subscribe to magazines that focus on that particular part of women, and they all got the same story, which is, flat as a 2x4, and then all of a sudden, in junior year of high school, pow. Yeah.
Well, nobody's going to operate on her for a while, years. With breast implants, generally speaking, most plastic surgeons aren't going to touch the girl until she's at least 18.
Oh, can you do it at 16? I mean,
can you do it? There's no law that says you can't, but generally speaking, we're not going to do it because a girl, you know, you want to make sure that her breasts are completely
what
grown
about,
and
what
developed
about genital
before.
Reassignment? Is there some sort of cut-off
you don't
for
do
that?
It? Well, you don't
Part
do it
the
until pot? The kid's 18.
18.
Yeah, and then. See, in L.A., Children's Hospital has a transsexual clinic for kids.
Man,
yeah, so
I'm,
that they
I'm
help.
Sure I'm paying for that, by the way, through my hard-earned tax dollars.
Well, I hope so.
Fantastic. Meanwhile, it takes the cops 4 hours to get over the house.
This is Children's
Fantastic.
Hospital.
All right, I'm just going to pay for all the kids that get the junk swapped out because our uncle grabbed them when they were four. But
this
keep
got
going.
Nothing to
keep
do
going.
With that.
Keep I, going. No. I'll pay for it all. Let's keep going. It's a worthy cause.
So anyhow, So if somebody's going to be done at that young age, obviously they would have had to have been through such a program for many years prior and have support of the parents, et cetera.
All right. So, hey, Becky.
Yeah?
And here's the whole thing about the modest chest on the women. Another thing that most guys don't mind as much as women think they mind. I agree. I don't know any guy who's really had any complaint. I've heard more complaints about too big rather than too small for just your average guy around the office.
Well, I think now the tendency, at least in L.A., is not as big as it was 10 years ago.
And if
guys were, I mean, it was getting carried away 10 years ago. These girls would come in and want these gigantic implants, create more problems than smaller implants. But
I'm just saying, whenever you take a look at the 5 or 10 top starlets every year, the actresses, I don't know if it's Jennifer Aniston or Julia Roberts or whoever it is, they're always just sort of B-cup / C-cup. Unfortunately for guys like me, you know, American men, heterosexual, you know, guys like me, they're always fairly sort of modest. You know, it's always like you know, Goldie Hawn's daughter or something. It's these sort of like bee cups, these willowy bee cups that float around. And this is what everyone, this is everyone's idea of a model. So I don't know where women get the idea, because guys all are after these women.
Yeah, and all guys are different. So it's, some guys like them, what, yeah, bigger than a handful.
Yeah.
Right. Most guys I know aren't into anything above a C. So, Becky.
Do you have a cute butt? How's your...
That's what guys are into. We all agree on the
ass. It'll balance out.
Except for the black man.
Are you happy with your butt?
I have a nice ass.
Perfect.
Right. Don't worry about your chest then.
Yeah.
But I was just, like, wondering, like, the health issues that it could cause.
Well, they've done studies which really show that about 20% of women within 3 to 5 years who have breast implants are going to need a secondary operation for one cause or the other,
mm-hmm,
i.e. a leak of the implant, malposition of the implant, firmness around one or both of the implants where you have to remove the scar tissue, or infection.
Within 5 years.
So if a woman is going to get a breast implant, she has to realize that it's probably not going to be her only operation. She's going to certainly over her lifetime will almost certainly have more than one operation, and in some cases many, many operations, and it can open up a Pandora's box. So before you have a breast implant, then you really have to be aware of that. I mean, you just, as long as you know the risks and possible downsides. And basically, my feeling is if the bigger you put in, if you put in the giant ones, you're going to have a higher chance of getting malposition problems, stretch marks, et cetera. And
plus,
if you just keep it.
Guys really gnawing away on those babies, too. You know what I mean? They're working them like joysticks.
American men like you, you know.
Yeah. They're working it like the yoke of a bomber that's going down in World War II. You know what I mean? Come on, baby! We got to clear the mountains, you know what I mean? I like when guys talk to their planes in this movie. You know, that's what I do. That's my move. All right, let's hear something from Lit. What do you say?
Sweet.
Yeah. This is off the new CD, which is just out in stores. It's called Lit, the CD, and the song, you ready there, Chris, is called Looks Like They Were Right. AJ and Alan are here now. Jeremy and Kevin are going to be coming in after the 11 o'clock break. Dr. Gary Alter, board certified in plastic surgery and urology, here tonight. I would call the world's foremost expert in genital reassignment. At least you know more about it than anyone I know.
That counts for something.
Yes. Yes. And wrote a book that's is thick as many of the penises he removes, and filled with pictures.
Beautiful pictures.
Beautiful, beautiful graphic pictures. And listen, you want to get your kids to quit masturbating, don't take away the internet. Get them this.
I think on Amazon.com it's number 700,000 on the best-selling list. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, go. I'm telling you, what's it called? Give it a plug.
Oh, reconstructive and plastic surgery of the external genitalia.
Yeah, show that to the kids.
Yeah.
Get them right up.
It's a good coffee table.
It's a pretty serious-looking cover, too. So there's no bells and whistles about this.
No, it's not a pop-up book.
No.
There's no scratch and sniff, thank Christ.
Good thing there's no picture on the cover.
There's
as well.
No dedication.
No, there isn't there dedication.
Is not there. No way.
Well, a little bit.
Really? Oh, twisting the knife. They sent him to medical school so you could have a nice Beverly Hills practice, and now look what he's doing. No, I know. I know it's got to be tough. My parents aren't disappointed in me, but they never expected anything. Your parents set the bar too high. That's
the
why they're disappointed. Yeah, yeah. It's tough, yeah. See, my parents figured I would just be working at the Y right now, so it's all gravy. All gravy. Your parents expected great things out of you. Yeah, disappointing. All right, lit in studio. In studio tonight. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Gary Alter. Dr. Alter, filling in for Dr. Drew, board certified and all that good stuff. AJ and Alan, both here tonight from Lit. Lit, name of the CD. Go to www.litlounge.com, and you can find out all the shows are going to be on and when they're coming to a town near you. All right, let's see if we can take some calls. I'll just start with whoever's been on hold the longest, and that would be Anna. Anna.
Hi.
You're 15?
Yeah.
You're a virgin?
Anna.
Anna.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Anna. How do you spell that?
A-N-N-A.
All right. Which I would think would be Anna, but it's Anna?
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting you on hold. I don't like when people pronounce names that are spelled differently. It pisses me off. No, it's not Andrea. It's Andrea. Shut up. It's Anna. You're on hold. You corrected me. Now you're on hold. I think names need to be like words. That there's no, you know, stop. It's S-T-O-P, and there's one way to pronounce it, and that's it. Because everyone just goes around correcting everybody on how to spell their name and how it's pronounced.
What
screw all
the
you.
What about the tomato-tomato thing?
Let's just agree on it and
let's
call the whole
set
thing
the
off. Yeah, whatever the song is.
What's the origin?
Yeah. I'm just saying, every single person Anna encounters reads her name and says Anna, and then she corrects that.
It would be tiring. It would get kind of exhausting.
Yes, don't do it.
Yeah. Change your name to Anna.
Watch, I'll tell you this one more time. Anna?
Uh-huh.
What's your question, Anna?
I'm afraid to have sex with my boyfriend because I'm afraid it'll change our relationship.
All right. Does everyone who reads your name call you Anna, by the way?
Yeah.
All right. And you correct them?
Most of the time.
Okay. You didn't say all the time, so I didn't hit the thing. Don't do it anymore. Leave them alone. Your friends know you as Anna, and that's how you know the difference between your friends and strangers. Strangers know you as Anna.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. And if you're ever kidnapped or anything, and some suspicious character is talking to the police and says, Anna's a great friend of mine, then you know he's guilty. And also, there's a music sting that lets the audience know as well.
That's
right,
a good point.
A little surreal there, but no, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right, Anna. So, your boyfriend wants sex from you. How old is he?
He's 15.
All right. And you're not ready for it yet.
Well, I kind of am. I'm just afraid it'll change what we have.
Mm-hmm. Blue balls. That's what
and it'll just be all about sex and just...
Right.
That's, yeah.
Right. And he's hoping it'll change what you have. But he has, which is nothing. So how long have you been going out?
3 years, on and off.
On and off. Now, why on and off?
I really don't know why. It's just we keep breaking up, deciding that we don't want to be with each other, and then we start going back out.
Yeah, it's usually a bad sign, by the way, and I don't know what you guys think about this, but, you know, these relationships that last for years from, you know, 14 to, you know, 19, everyone usually ends up regretting them. They pass by all their sort of high school glory years and stuff, hooked on to one person, or sort of in and out of something that they should have just gotten out of.
When you're that age, I don't know if I regretted anything from that age, because, I mean, that was like, you're 14, he's 15?
She's 15.
I'm 15 and he's 15.
Oh, you're both 15. That's like the first time I think I had sex. I was 15, and it's like I remember the girl, and it was, I mean, we went out for a while, and it was cool, and it would suck to think that every 15-year-old that has sex for the first time is going to end up marrying that person. I mean, you grow so much from that point of your life till.
Well, do you want to marry the person you have sex with for the first time?
Well, yeah, that's another point. I guess.
Oh, you do.
We've already talked about getting married and everything.
Is he a virgin, too?
He's had sex with one other person.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you'll have sex with him and realize you don't want to be with him anymore.
Yeah, here's the thing. It's the old adage, which if you have to ask how much, you can't afford, as the joke goes, although I'm probably butchering it. So the point is, Anna, if you're calling, you got a lot of question marks around this, and that means you're not ready. So give it some time. That's fine. And the fact that you guys have been going out for 2 years and on and off suggests to me that, you know, maybe you're trying to make a relationship out of something that maybe wasn't meant to be. And maybe ought to just, you know, take some time for yourself.
And you're 15. Why are you talking about marriage?
Yeah. I mean,
it's crazy.
Well, she's calling from Missouri.
Well,
so she's an old maid. You don't get married by 15 and a half. You're considered a spinstress. Yeah. Yeah, you should have a few kids by now. All right, yeah.
I think Adam's right. I think you should probably hold off.
Anna, and by the way, this is Anna go over in Missouri? It's going to be a disaster over there. All right, listen, Anna, you shouldn't be getting married. Here's really when you should be getting married. Double your life. I mean, you're 15 now. Get married when you're 30.
Yeah.
All right, here's the thing. The sources of many of this world's problems could be traced back to people having sex too early, spitting out kids too early, getting married too early. You don't know what you're doing at 15. You don't know what you're doing at 19. You should really be getting married in your late 20s, sometimes even early 30s. There's nobody I know who's made it into their 30s or 40s who doesn't look back at themselves at 19 and realize they were practically and functionally retarded. Even the great Dr. Drew, who's a man of exquisite passion, as well as an eloquent man, will admit that at 19 his head was spinning like a whirling dervish. He knew nothing. And he's a brilliant man. Well, he's okay. Alter's smarter than he is.
You know, I hardly know Dr. Drew.
You're in. You know what? Don't leave that stool. Drew will come back and find your ass in it. I'll talk to him in the parking lot and he's gone.
He's history.
I'll just be hammering his checks. I'll pay you out of my own pocket. Is it a deal?
You got it.
All right. He gets paid the same as me. Can you believe that?
I'm shocked.
It is shocking.
It is shocking.
Where is he?
The guy's out in Boston.
He's chasing tail in Beantown. I'm here busting my hump with Lit and Dr. Alter. He's drunk at some bar right now, probably the one where they filmed Cheers.
I'll tell you, there's no justice.
Yeah, it's zero justice. And you know what he makes tonight? Same thing I do. Exactly the same amount.
Well, I'll tell you, no one told you to quit school.
I know.
You know, that's what it comes down to.
I should've.
And that, Anna, stay in school and get married.
Stay in school. Don't get married and get pregnant.
Wasn't she calling about sex, though? What advice do you have for that?
Marriage. She's talking marriage. She breaks.
And if she has sex with a guy,
she's with the guy, the same guy. She's on and off with him. Why does she want to have sex? I mean, it's with him.
Right. And on and off, like I said, bad sign.
Bad sign.
All right. Alter here tonight, Lit here tonight. We're going to take a break. We're going to say bye to AJ and Alan, and Kevin and Jeremy are going to come in from Lit and finish the second hour with the second half of the band. We'll take ourselves a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Alter to my left, Dr. Gary Alter. He's a board-certified plastic surgeon and a urologist. And Jeremy and Kevin have both come in here from Lit. We're doing a little...
How you doing?
Good to see you guys, by the way.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having us back.
Yeah, my pleasure. We will hear something else off the Lit CD. Jeremy's enjoying Dr. Alter's book. Where is it on Amazon again? Number what?
It's like number 700,422 on the bestseller.
I'm going to have nightmares tonight.
When it sells one more copy, it jumps up about 100,000.
Really? So, yeah. I still think it's outselling Drew's book.
That's a bad sign.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really
now, this is, I'm telling you, anybody who's interested in the human anatomy or possibly Nazi memorabilia should pick this up. If you're a fan.
This is some crazy stuff.
It is. There are pictures that you know, Dr. Seuss on 20 Vicodin couldn't come up with. I mean, it is. There's some creative stuff. When you see the penis growing on the arm with the host arm on it.
How long do you have to host the penis on your arm before it's ready to rock?
Well, it's all done at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so you don't have to walk around for like. Three months with a penis growing on your forearm.
But that's interesting. That's
what I thought too.
No, it's all done at the same sitting. I don't do that particular operation because that really takes a team of surgeons, and it takes all day long.
You enjoy the vagina rather than the penis.
I do more of the vaginal surgery than the penile sex research.
You know, if I was to get into that field, I would do the same.
Yeah. You go with what you know. Yeah. I mean, that's your bread and butter. You go with what got you here.
What can I say?
You came out of the vagina. That's your specialty. You didn't come out of a penis.
This would make a great gift for Christmas, though, this book.
It's a real coffee table.
Yeah.
It's a thriller, yeah.
And so the penis that's actually attached to the forearm.
Well, what you do is...
How does that one work?
There's like a pattern, and you raise up the tissues of the arm.
On the forearm.
Shape it into a penis. And in that...
You mean use a template?
Yeah, it's a template. But plastic surgery's come a long way. So you know with the artery, you include one of the main arteries of the forearm, of the wrist, in that. And that artery will supply the blood flow that goes to that whole group of... That whole mass
the penis.
Of tissue. Yeah.
So you physically...
And then you also include some nerves in it. And you make a urethra.
You sculpt the penis out of the flesh of the forearm.
That's correct.
With no other, you're not going to the parts bin for anything else.
No.
It's all just made from what is there. There's
correct.
Muscle.
So it's not a real penis. It's not a real penis. It's just a phallus. It's shaped like a penis.
Right.
But it's not a real
it's a penis.
Penis
with a hell of a grip.
If you've got a long forearm, you can make it pretty long.
So you can.
But
that's not your one. But
you can shape one.
Could make a fairly decent looking phallus from the forearm, which is attached via blood supply to the forearm, and then when it's done being made, and how long does that take approximately?
Well, that surgery is usually done with a couple teams of surgeons working at the same time so that there'll be one or two surgeons doing the forearm part while other surgeons are preparing the pelvic area.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the everything's prepared, then you cut the artery, cut the nerves, cut the veins, and transfer it over and hook it up microscopically under a microscope.
Right. Does it get erect?
Subsequently, later on, you can come back. Once there's some sensation there.
And you get a rod from your engine thrown in there.
You put a penile implant in.
It's a team of surgeons. And by the way, meanwhile, there's some nun in the OR bleeding to death because she was stabbed by a junkie because these guys have to form a penis on some nutjob's forearm. That's the tragedy of this situation.
It had to be a nun, right?
Yes. Sister Josephine is bleeding to death in the OR. We need a surgeon. I'm sorry. I'm not finished sculpting a dork on this crazy man's arm. How dare you for coming in? That's how it works.
What's the biggest penis you've made?
Well, like I said, I don't do that particular. I was trying to do it, but I don't really do that. But
what have you heard of?
Well, you try not to make it too large. I mean, you want it to be
two feet.
No.
depends on how big your forearm is.
Yeah, you want it to look, you don't want people to take notice.
Right. You want it, you know.
Dude, if I was going to have one done, it'd be 2 feet long.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you were going to have one.
Right, if I was going to have that done.
Right.
But.
All right. Yeah, we can still, the night is young.
Right.
I mean, we're barely in the 11 o'clock hour.
We got time.
You got your junk in your trunk? I mean, you got your tool bag, right? You got your kit?
Who needs a team of surgeons, man? He's all you need right here. A
couple more beers. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to the phones, and we'll speak to Ben, who's 18. Ben?
Yes.
You want to know about penile enlargement?
Yes, I do.
What would you like to know?
Well, I was just kind of thinking about it because my girlfriend says that I'm small, and I kind of wanted to know about the risks and stuff.
Hold on. Did she really say you were small, or did you just hear that?
She kind of said so.
Well, she's doing a real number on your head.
Yeah. How big is your penis?
About 4 inches.
Oh, okay.
Is that... well,
tell them about the surgery.
When erect?
Yes.
Oh, that's
no,
a cold.
No,
that's a cold sock in the face. When erect.
No, I mean, you know.
Yeah, but it's four when you're flaccid. You're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm asking.
I know. All right, now he's got to get the surgery. Now, what about the surgery? broke the kid. You broke him just like that. Yeah.
No, I got to know.
As his girlfriend.
Maybe you just need a smaller girlfriend.
Yeah.
Skinnier girl.
Guess I've won them Asian
problems. Well, let me say that, you know, people come up with these measurements and they don't necessarily, it depends how you measure it.
Well,
too.
Stop me if I'm wrong, but I measure from the center of the anus to just past the tip. That's my technique.
You're long.
Is that official?
Yeah. Adam, you came up. How did you know that?
Center of the anus. Right. I've thought long and hard.
So that's why you've been saying you got this 14-incher for a long time.
You center the tape on the anus, and you go just past the tip.
That sounds reasonable. Right.
Yeah.
Just past
Here's a tip for you, bro. You got to trim all that pubic hair on the top there. That'll give you an extra inch right there.
Easily.
So now you're at 5.
Yeah, now
you're
at 5.
And then the question also is, you know, are you overweight?
No.
Okay.
Because that'll help, too, for the guys who are.
But penis enlargement, really, there's two aspects of it. One is the lengthening. And the lengthening operations, there's so much misinformation out. But what is done is to cut the suspensory ligament of the penis, which is the ligament from the bone at the pubic area down to the penis. That doesn't really give you length per se, but what you do to gain the length after that's cut, you would wear these weights. They're specially made penis weights to stretch your penis, and you wear them for 15 minutes, a half hour, you know, once or twice a day for many, many months. And then over a period of many months, you stretch your penis and you get length gain. If you look at these tribes in New Guinea and these other tribes, they basically have been stretching their penises. And if you look in the Kama Sutra, which is the Indian, the old Indian.
Seen the book.
Yeah. You study that. And they've been using stretching devices to lengthen the penis for since that was written.
Yeah, and it works.
You can stretch any part of the body. So
the
only reason to cut, you'll get erectile gain too.
What about the New Guinea tribes? They're the guys, they stretch their, you know,
they stretch everything.
Stretch it out, dragging on the ground. Can they get an erection with that?
Theoretically, yeah.
Really?
Yes, yeah.
Mental notes. Stay out of New Guinea. You don't want some guy with a 4-foot dong chasing you around the boner.
Especially if he's going to eat your head.
Yeah.
They got cannibals out there, but at least they used to.
Well, I'll tell you, eating will be the last. That's the least of your worries when a guy's got a 3-foot dong and he's chasing you around with a boner in the jungle. It could happen.
But a lot of girls would probably rather you have it be shorter and more proportionate or fatter or whatever than long and skinny, and she'd be complaining that it's too long and skinny, and you're right back where you started.
They want oral sex, let's face it. Listen, guys, stop focusing on your junk. Double down on the oral sex, all will be forgiven.
It does help.
Yeah.
No question about it. But the only reason for cutting the suspensory ligament is because it enables more of your penis to be stretched with weights. You can use the weights with it.
Doing the cut without the weights is not going to do it.
Doing the cuts without weights does not do it. It's a misconception.
What about thickening?
The thickening, there are many different operations, and unfortunately, most of them work okay, but there are bad complications with some of them, and because of that, I personally don't do that operation anymore. I do operate on a lot of men to repair the problems that happened from the thickening operations.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I see some very some real disaster cases, and then these guys come back and they go, "Geez, just make me the way I used to." I mean, you know, because they get terrible problems.
Yeah.
Curvature problems that can result, actually scarring with shortening, so they end up shorter.
We call that Peyronie's.
Well, Peyronie's a different thing.
We call it Peyronie's. There's also pig in a blanket syndrome.
With a lot of fat injections.
It's tough.
You know, the thickening operations, there are significant problems with it.
And here's the other thing, too. They use donor tissue. So all you people who put the sticker on your license who think you're doing the Lord's work by giving your cataracts to some blind kid, really, you're giving us a Middle Eastern guy spending some of his oil money on his dork.
Right.
That's really where the tissue's going. That's what I learned when I hit the straights.
There has not been a... Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
What about just the donor penis? They got that worked out yet?
Not yet, but soon.
Technically,
if Alter has his way, that's where your penis is going.
No, technically, we
you're going to heaven without a penis. Because Alter sold it on the black market.
you get a buddy at the ER, and you're just like, give me a call if anyone comes in.
Right.
And they're about,
that's right.
You know. Technically, you can do a penile transplant, because I have reattached penises that were cut off, and it's the same operation.
Right.
Wow. So all you're doing...
And I shook your hand.
Yeah.
Jeez. And, you know.
Doing reattaching a penis that's been cut off is, that's...
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
I mean, when your phone rings at 4:30 in the morning, it's not an old girlfriend who wants a booty call.
Well, fortunately, it was 4 in the afternoon.
Something, right?
Yeah, 4 was the afternoon. So.
What kind? Just
what happened?
Yeah, industrial or guy went nuts?
The guy was on a drug trip. He was
and
on,
just cut his own.
He hallucinated. A lot of the lost penises with amputations are psychotics, schizophrenics, or they're on drug trips.
They cut their penis off.
And he cut it off because a vision came in front of him that said that if he didn't cut his penis off, the vision would kill his family.
Right.
So
he scared the crap out of me.
So anyhow, so he cut it off. And then he fell asleep on the drug trip, and he woke up.
No penis.
In a pool of bed with his penis lying.
And you reattached it.
And
it works today?
It works today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amen,
he's
brother.
He's got a family.
That's good news.
It's good. It's a good thing.
Let's...
What was that Pit of the Fool thing? We're all very confused.
Yeah, what was that? How'd you
Kevin
that?
Brought his old toys.
Yeah. I bought this the other day. It's really fun.
Oh, go ahead.
All right.
I pity the fool. Don't give me no back talk, sucker. Don't make me mad. Quit your.
All right, anyways.
Kevin's lips move with the device.
He's been rehearsing.
All right, let's talk to penile enlargement. No, let's go to line one. We got a lit question. Chris?
Yo.
You got a question for the band?
Yo, what's up, Chris?
Yeah, I got a question for the band and a question for the doctor, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so my question for the band is I want to know how many times, you know, someone came into the band and had to leave the band because it wasn't the right chemistry.
Never.
Really?
Same four members for the last 15 years. So
yeah, everyone looks,
never had any lineup change.
Everyone looks the same.
We almost kicked Kevin out one time because he had a small penis, but
we kept doing that.
We got good news tonight, though.
We're going to work things out, and
that's good.
Chris, so they've all been together for 15 years. Pretty
good. Great.
Yeah, that's great, man.
All right, what's your Alter question?
Okay, so you were saying when a guy has a sex change to a woman,
right,
that you make the clitoris out of the head of his penis, right?
Right.
Now, what I want to know is, does he achieve an orgasm quicker than a woman?
Yeah, what comes
That's interesting.
The she. Yeah.
She does achieve an orgasm, and if you talk to them, they describe orgasms very similar to a genetic woman describing an orgasm, that it's more like waves and it's not the major climax that a male has. Because here you're talking to somebody that had an orgasm as a male, now has an orgasm as a female, and it's probably the difference in the sensation of the orgasm is probably primarily due to the taking of the female hormones, the estrogen.
And there's obviously nothing comes out because the nuts were thrown in the incinerator 2 weeks ago, right?
but the prostate is still there. So there can
get
be
something?
And the seminal vesicle.
Nice.
It is positive, but a lot of that is dried up. The fluids dried up because of the female hormones.
Uh-huh.
But it is possible on some of them that they do get a little bit of ejaculate.
All right. Well, we got that to look forward to.
So there you go.
let's see. Let's talk to who's been on hold. Alex. Alex?
Yeah.
You're 17. What's up?
I was born with hypospadias, and I got an operation on it.
Hold on. What is that?
Okay, Dr. hypospadias Alter? Is a congenital, i.e., you're born with deformity of your penis, which has various. Which has variations of various severity. It can be very mild or it can be very severe. Where the opening of the penis, where you urinate from, mm-hmm. is on the underside of the penis.
Uh-huh.
And it could be on the underside near the head of the penis, or it can be on the underside all the way down near your scrotum.
Uh-huh.
And the more severe or the farther down it is, the more severe the problem is.
Right.
And it also is associated with curvature of the penis downward. When
we
you get
call
an erection.
That Peyronie's.
No, we call that Cordy.
We call Peyronie's it Peyronie's.
Okay.
So, Alex, where was your opening? How far toward the sack was it?
It was about 2 inches down.
So is that halfway, or okay, so. Where is that? Well, when you're born,
yeah, it's like
two inches down. That's in your ass, isn't it?
Yeah, it's probably near the base, because I got it about 2 years after I was born, the operation.
The operation.
Right.
All right, so...
So what, did you lose sensation in the head of your penis or something? Or
I
what?
Lost quite a bit of sensation all around.
Really? Mm-hmm. Even on the head of the penis?
Yeah, I lost a little sensation on the head of the penis.
Well, what do you have to compare it to?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I mean, you know, normally the head of the penis, if you just kind of touch it, you don't really have that much sensation there. But it does have an erogenous sensation if it's rubbed certain ways.
Show me,
yeah, which you may or may not know.
Come on, we're both professional.
But the shaft,
You're kidding me.
The shaft of the penis, the skin of the shaft doesn't have much sensation. So, you know, that's interesting that you say that because you may actually have normal sensation. Most hypospadias operations, when the surgeons that do it, they know how to avoid injuring the nerves, and it's pretty uncommon that there's a serious nerve
injury.
So
then the question is, how do you know? You have a nerve injury, Alex, because you don't really have anything to compare it to because you don't know what it would feel like if it wasn't operated on because you were so young.
That's true.
And then the question also is it different on the left side of the head of the penis versus the right side of the head of the penis? Because there are different nerves going to the different sides.
We call that Peyronie's. Waiting for you to correct.
Whatever.
All right. So, Alex, he's calling...
I'm asking if there's any way, if I do end up having nerve damage.
There's no way. I'm sorry to say, Alex. There's no way to fix those nerves.
There isn't.
No.
It's been too long.
But the odds are, Alex, that...
There was no damage in the first
place. There's no damage there.
Does it work, though?
Oh, yeah. That's a good question.
I mean, you know...
Alex.
Yeah.
You have an orgasm?
I've only had one twice.
Oh. All right. Well, could you make yourself have one?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, what's the hang-up, then?
Just when I'm having sex. Just nothing.
Yeah, but you can... Can you masturbate?
Yeah.
And you've done that twice only?
Oh, no, when masturbating, it's fine. Just when I'm having sex, it's just nothing.
Oh, okay. Well,
you just last forever, or what?
Yeah, I do.
You're just sorting out... You're just sorting through your junk. That's all. And 17-year-old guys got to do that.
I wish I had your problem.
Yeah, some guys are too fast. Some guys are... What would Mr. T have to say about that, Kevin?
I pity the fool.
That's right. He pities the fool who ejaculates too quickly. All right, here's
the... Don't give me no back talk, sucker.
Here's the point. We're going to get sued by the T estate soon. But here's the thing with Alex. Alex is focusing on his penis because he had this procedure done. The procedure probably came out fine. He's just going through the normal 17-year-old growing pains, and he has this as something to focus on.
That's probably right. I would say your sensation is probably normal.
You can masturbate and have an orgasm.
You can have an orgasm.
You find a chick, you work it out. All right. Let's talk to David, who's 18. David?
Hey, how's it going, Adam?
Good.
Everybody else that's there? I don't know.
Hello. What's up?
We got Lit, we got Dr. Gary Alter here.
All right, everybody. Well, I got a question about kind of sweat too much, and I want to know, you know, if there's any procedures, pills, anything I could take. Cause it's
where do you sweat?
It's mainly like...
Your hands or what?
No, mainly like my head. Like my face, you know?
I'm an expert at this. I just had this. I've been through it all. And I finally had the procedure done, by the way. And there's a couple things. So it's really just your head.
Well, I just got off work and my back's kind of sweaty right now, and you know, yeah. I got kind of a little bit of the ball sweat.
You got the ball sweat and the forehead sweat.
Yeah, forehead kind of.
You got a lot of range.
It's just embarrassing, you know. People are like, hey, David, what are you doing? You know, laying some drywall up, and no, I was just eating a bowl of cereal.
Yeah, you worked up a sweat doing nothing.
No pun intended on the drywall joke, Adam. It's just saying, you know, hard work, you know.
No, I know. People think you're on drugs or you've just been working out. And
I'm about 215, about 5'8".
Yeah. But, you know. Well, the extra poundage can do it. Okay, here's what I've learned. They got, first off, you can go to a dermatologist and there's like topical stuff you can put on the area that you sweat and it kind of dries it up. It's a pain in the ass. You have to kind of keep reapplying it. And it can even irritate the area a little bit. But in general, it sort of works. Like if you got a sweaty forehead and you put this junk on your forehead every night before you go to bed, you won't really sweat that much from your forehead. It'll come out your upper lip or something. It'll come out your eyes. It'll come out somewhere else. But you can physically, like if you got really sweaty palms and you put this Drysol stuff on or Xerac or whatever it's called. I'm just looking at you because what the hell's Lit going to do?
Right.
They're drunk.
You guys got something.
Well, I've done some research because I've always had the sweaty forehead. You put this stuff. So let's say you have sweaty palms. So you get this medicine. You go to the dermatologist. You rub it on your palms every night, and you do it. And a few days later, your palms aren't clammy. And you can go to the business meeting and shake the guy's hand and not give him the sweat palm thing. You can put the same crap on your forehead. There's also pills you can take that'll dry you up. Sort of like for the day. I don't think you want to be on them your whole life, but they're pills that are made for, like, I don't know, high blood pressure or something like that. You can actually even make them like if you're doing some sort of surgery and you don't want to bleed too much or something like that. But they're pills you can take that will dry you up for like that day. If you had a big job interview and you were going to be nervous and you thought your forehead was going to start sweating at 4 p.m, you could pop a couple of these pills at 2 p.m. and it would probably dry you up. You get a little cotton mouth. That would be
How far these products set you back?
How much do they cost? Just the same as any other prescription, whatever, you know. Yeah. If you have some insurance or something, that could probably take care of it. But you got to go like the dermatologist.
And what surgeries to do? I mean, there's good surgeries for the palms now.
Yeah.
For sweaty palms.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to be a firefighter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, when you sweat a lot as a firefighter, you know, it's kind of dangerous because, you know, flash comes over you and, you know, it's just...
Well, you don't catch on fire, though, because...
No, it's just, like, you wear special suits to keep the sweat in.
Yeah,
I mean, the more sweat you got, you know, the more evaporate.
Here's the thing. They do have all kinds of procedures where they, like, nip things and snip things and cauterize things. And just go on the internet and go look into it. And there's all kinds of centers and places now. And it's a whole business now. So you can look into it and find it. Just get on the computer and figure it out.
All right, Adam. Thanks a lot.
Hey, good times.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, good luck with the firefighting.
So you go into that job interview and like your upper lip sticks to your tooth when you're talking to the boss
because you're so dry. Yeah,
it's a good impression. Good.
Yeah, well, you hack up a tumbleweed. Hey, David, you want to be a firefighter?
Yeah, I'm going. I'm enrolled right now at a college. One is doing that right now.
Where? You want to do L.A. County or?
Well, it's at the Mount Sac Junior College. It's like an academy. Right.
Listen, you're a white guy.
I would look white, but I'm Hispanic.
Okay, good. You're in.
Yeah.
The white guy ain't going to make it.
I'm full-blood Mexican, so.
And work it. I mean, when you go in there, don't speak a lick of English. You'll be in the next day. It'll make you the fire chief.
So.
I know. I signed up to be a fireman. I was at my wit's end when I was like 19. I had nothing to do. I went down to the fire station in North Hollywood. It's like, hey, sign me up, boys. I got balls. I'm not scared. I'll climb a ladder. What do we got to do? And they're like, all right, well, we'll put your name on the paper. We'll send you. We'll notify you in the mail when your test
Italians
comes in.
Don't count.
6.5 years later, I got the thing in the mail that said it was time to go down and take the test. I went down to take the test.
Did you really?
It was at Hollywood High.
Yeah.
There was a black chick standing behind me, and I said, I was looking at everyone in line. I was like, I signed up for this thing 7 years ago. And I said, when did you sign up? She said, Wednesday. I was like, I'm going to kill myself. Where's the worst? Look, my mom was on welfare. Where's my crap? I swear to Christ, I'm poor. Who do I got to prove that to? Just help out the poor people. Don't worry about what color we are. There's white trash, everybody. Those are white people. They're trash. Those are Corollas. All right. All right. I'm sorry. I got going there. Dr. Alter in studio tonight. Lit in studio tonight. We'll hear something off the new CD and do all that after this. Yeah, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Gary Alter. My new favorite doctor friend.
Hey, thanks.
Drew's out. He's out. And, wow, look what the cat just dragged in.
You know, I know one of your employees, and I was just having a chat with her.
Yeah, who was it? Producer Ann?
Christine Fung.
Ah, Christine. Great, great. That's a girl?
Yes.
Fantastic lady.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Kevin is back. Jeremy's also here from Lit. We're going to hear something off of the CD. I think what we'll do is we'll take one call, and then we'll hear something off it. So let's see. Had penis surgery as a kid. A lot of penis talk tonight. Boobs gain weight. That's what I like. Let's talk to Sherry. Boob trumps penis talk any day of the week. Sherry?
Hi.
You're 19.
Hi, Adam.
What's up?
Wow, I'm on Love Line. That's the first.
Yeah.
I've been trying to call for a while. When I was 12, I had a C cup.
Are you a Mormon?
No, not Mormon.
Hold on a second. Anderson plays that drop. Whenever someone calls from Salt Lake City, Engineer Anderson drops the "Are you a Mormon?" drop.
Why?
And they always answer. He's 1,000% on it. Yeah, everyone from Salt Lake City, I guess, is used to being asked if they're a Mormon,
Do you ever
say
get
yes.
any Mormons listen to the show?
Absolutely. Okay. We have a huge Mormon audience. Huge. The whole, like, big. Crystal Cathedral that listens every night. Yeah. There's a picture of Drew in the Watchtower. It's huge. Is that the Mormons or is it Jehovah's or what the hell they got? I don't know. Whatever. The LDS people. That's right, which I always thought was a disease. Sherry?
I'm still here.
All right, so your boob, C cup at age 12.
Yeah, and I've pretty much maintained my weight since I was around at junior high, so about 140, 145. Mm-hmm. But my boobs have continued to grow, mm-hmm. and it seems like no matter how much I eat, my weight doesn't gain, but I get bigger boobs.
Mm-hmm.
About every year I have to change my cup size and have to change my widths on my bras, but I never gain any weight anywhere else.
What are you now?
I'm at a double D.
All right. I'm going to do some math. By the time you're in your 70s, you're double D now. You're 19. You're how tall?
I'm 5'6".
5'6", and you still weigh the 145 pounds.
Yes.
And
maintained it.
Yeah, and you exercise and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm really active, except it's kind of hard with the large boobs in the way.
There are some women that will, their breasts will
continue
to get larger, and you may eventually need a breast reduction. And then there is no guarantee that your breasts won't grow a little bit more after the reduction, too. I mean, it's uncommon.
I went to a doctor, and he just told me to maybe take birth control pills and maybe try to curb the growth.
Yeah, well, it is probably a hormonal issue.
I've taken birth control pills since I was 14, and that didn't help at all.
Why?
So,
you had some other problem?
No, it's just I went to a doctor when I was 14 because they continued to grow.
I
did stop them from growing quicker, but they're still growing.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody really knows why the breasts, someone like yours just
Do we need someone
growing.
To find out why does a rose smell pretty? Do you know what I'm saying? Do we need the answers to every question? It's a good thing.
Well, if you don't ask the questions, you never get the answers.
How do they keep getting bigger, though, but you don't gain any weight? How does that work? Does it come from somewhere else?
I pretty much maintain my weight, like, anything? Everywhere else.
Yeah, I know.
I gain about a pound.
I know what Jeremy's asking. Which is how do you keep adding on to the hive and
I see, and then the, it doesn't
weigh anymore. Shrinks. Yeah, there's more honey there. Why doesn't the hive weigh more? Right. And no, she does gain the weight. It's just there.
Right.
I think that's what
exactly
Sherry's saying. I don't trust
and
it, by the way.
It's bad on my back and.
Okay. All right.
It's
so,
not cool.
Okay. Here's the whole thing. You may have to consult a plastic surgeon at some point and look into a reduction if this keeps going. Otherwise, it's just sort of exercise and maintain your diet and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right? I don't know what else to do. I mean, there's a certain subset of women that just their breasts just keep growing.
They should be worshipped. They really should.
She could turn it into a career.
Unfortunately, it's uncomfortable after a while.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a little pressure on your back.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Go see a plastic surgeon and see what they have to say. All right. Let's hear a lit song, shall we?
Let's do it.
Do you have a song queued up there, Super Junior Engineer Chris? You like the Super Junior? No? You don't like it? All right. You don't want me to just... What do you want me to call you? Rookie? Rookie engineer? All right. Rookie engineer Chris is queued up. You two, senior engineer Anderson, yes, good to go?
We're rocking.
This is off Litt's new CD, self-titled CD, and it's called Times Like This. CD. You can go to www.litlounge.com. Com if you want to find out any information on tour dates or records or appearances on television. Ironically, you could go there right now. You'd probably see that they were going to be on Loveline right now.
You could.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dr. Gary Alter is here tonight, board-certified plastic surgeon. We're going to take ourselves a little break, and then we got all kinds of questions for Alter and the band and all after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Gary Alter filling in for Dr. Drew, who will be back, I don't know. I hope never. I've gotten used to him not being here. For a rotating cast of doctors who come in here. I think we have a gynecologist coming in tomorrow night. Yeah, and Junior. Super Green Junior. Junior. Junior engineer, Chris says. Yes, Jeremy and Kevin here tonight from Lit.
Hello.
And Lit, also name of the new CD. And let's see.
Just came out this week.
Three Nipples. I mean, it's not the name of the CD, but the someone has CD nipples. We call that supernumerary, yes?
That's correct.
Or superfluous, yes? Or Peronis, yes? No. Serena?
Yeah.
17?
Yeah.
Three nipples?
Uh-huh.
All right. And you want to get rid of the third?
Yeah.
Turn your radio off.
Huh? Oh,
that's Drew. Turn your radio off.
Off?
Even Drew, who's sleeping now in Beantown, knows you need to turn your radio off.
It's off.
All right. So you want to get rid of that third nipple. You ever do that, Doc?
Sure.
You do?
Yeah.
How's that go? If it's not hooked up, it's no big deal?
Yeah. It's the third nipple, it's below the other one? Or is it higher?
Huh?
All right, she's an idiot.
Turn the radio off.
And by the way, this is how God punishes people that don't listen. They give them extra nipples. Absolutely.
I guess that answers it.
I hope your plastic surgeon's so bad he gets rid of the second one, not the third.
Yeah, cut off
then
the
you're
wrong,
left with one and three.
Cut off the wrong one.
No, I'm just saying, you got one spot. And you got three. That's what I got. Actually, I got two and five.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, you couldn't tell by looking at it. No, it just seems normal, but I know it's two and five. All right, just go see the plastic surgeon. Stop bothering us, would you? The idiots with the radios. Melissa?
Yeah, hi.
You're 16?
Yeah.
You got the triple D cup?
Yeah, it's like genetic in a way, but like mm-hmm. My sister, she's like underweight and like she doesn't have boobs. Like, as big as I do.
Your sister?
Yeah.
All right. Someone just came into the cabin?
Jeez.
What?
Wow. The sheriff came in.
Yeah. The boot patrol.
We got your boss.
My little sister's, like, right here.
Oh, okay. Is that the underweight sister?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. She's, now, you're 16. Yeah. You're triple D.
Yeah.
And are you want to look into having a reduction?
Possibly, but see, like, I had played football, and I was wondering if that was like cancer, you know, causing, and if I did get a reduction because I do have back problems.
All right, hold on. Where'd you play football?
Oh, at Norco High.
Notre Dame.
Lingerie ball. Where'd you play football?
Norco High School.
Norco High School.
Yeah.
And you played tackle football?
With the boys, yeah.
You're kidding, really?
You did?
No, seriously. But
well, wait a second. Hold on.
That's a great story.
What position did you play?
Lineman. Or right lineman. Yeah.
Those chicks. The ones who know stuff don't know anything.
The right guy.
What position
right tackle
played.
Guy.
All right, so you played...
defensive right tackle.
Okay. All right, you play defensive tackle, and you think that caused your boobs to grow?
I'm not sure, actually. Right.
First off, you got to get some WD-40 in that house, Melissa. The doors are going
to... What kind of door is that? What room in the house are you in where it's like...
My sister's door.
All right.
It's louder than the door in here. That's soundproof.
Can you hit it with a little canola oil or something so I don't have a seizure?
I'll call my dad.
Thank you.
Head.
Please, tell them to get on that, would you? Put down the beer and pick up some WD-40 and get busy.
Okay.
Okay. Your boobs, yes. You can have a reduction. You're 16. They'll probably keep growing if you're already, a triple D. How's your weight doing?
All right, I guess.
Well, the fact that they put you on the defensive line and didn't try out for punter probably means there's a couple pounds that could go. Yes?
Oh, I mean, like, for as big as my boobs and my butt are, I'm a good size.
Right. Okay.
I'm sure that's what the coach was thinking. That's what you guys are like trying to imply. I'm saying.
Well, look. Here's for as big as your boobs or your butt is. That's you. We're not weighing your teeth. I mean. Okay. Let me explain something. Right, I gotta say it's gonna sound cruel, but we have a lot of people call this show. And America just must be getting gargantuan.
Well, America is getting obese.
We have people call this show that are like, are you overweight? No, I'm, 5'5", I'm 170, right. I mean, these are women. It's like, I would consider that a big gal. There's plenty of gals who call this show. They're, they're not tall, and they're 165 pounds, and they're not overweight. They're like, well, I'm voluptuous. I got a nice ass. I mean, I got a big chest, And here's the whole thing. Guys will focus on the chest, and you can get away with it sometimes. But don't kid yourself. There's probably 20 pounds that could be shed. And if you're generally overweight and you want to shrink the cup size, that'd be a good place to start. Lose a few pounds. Probably the breasts will go with it. And like I said, the defensive line was a little bit of a tip-off. Now, nose tackle, that's a 300-pound-plus broad we're talking to. Melissa?
During football, I lost 40 pounds, and that's when my boobs grew, is what I'm saying.
Maybe you just found them. They were just buried. Sunken treasure. Oh, well, okay, you lost 40 pounds during football?
Yeah.
So they took
So what do you weigh now?
What do I weigh now? 150.
150, and how tall are you?
5'4.5". I think I shrunk, though.
All right, say how tall you are again.
Like 5'4.5", 5'4.5",
150. Let me do the radio math real quick. 5'4.5", 150. What's 2 times 5, Alter?
I think it's 10.
What?
2 times 5?
2 times 5?
It's usually 10.
10. Yeah. All right. I'll bring that. It wasn't a college student. Okay. I did the radio math. She is 5'2 and 13/16, 166. Yeah. Because nobody gives their actual height and weight
on
the radio.
I see.
All right. Here's the deal. Why don't you lose 20 more pounds and see if the boobs go? Your boobs couldn't have gotten bigger when you lost 40 pounds.
No.
No, it's true. You can ask my mom.
All right, put her on.
I don't know if she's awake. Hold on.
All right, no, I don't want to talk to her.
No?
Wake up, mom.
Yeah, if I got to hear that hinge one more time. And I picture her, like, stirring a cauldron in front of the fire. Patch over an eye. Like a sea hag. Everything rusted in there. The paper boy's foot sticking out of the cauldron. He'll be done soon. So the house is haunted. She's calling from. Boobs getting bigger. The weight's going down. She's playing guard over there at Norco. Yeah. All right. Here's the thing. Consult the plastic surgeon if you like. But you could probably lose a few pounds. That would help you in your overall health and appearance, and would probably shrink your chest a little bit.
She might not be able to play football next year, though.
Well, that's all right. Okay. You could be, you get on the track team.
There you go.
You lighten up. Right. We turn you into a pole vaulter. All right. Let's take ourselves another call. Penis surgery as a kid. Hair on the inside of his penis. Yeah, what?
I can take care of that.
Jason?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yes, I am.
You probably had hypospadias, didn't you?
I did.
You had hair on the inside of your penis?
Well, what happened is when they reconstructed his urethra, the urinary channel, they used some skin that had hair on it. Is the hair a problem on the inside? I mean, do you get infections, irritations?
No, it does hurt sometimes when I'm urinating, but other than that, it's normal, I guess.
Because it, like, stings the follicle?
Well, you can get infections because the urine irritates the hair, and you can get little stone. It's
So I mean, if you're going to rebuild something, you got to make sure that skin doesn't have hair follicles.
Well,
in
that's
it, right?
Right. Right. And when you build a urethra in hypospadias operation, you're supposed to use hairless skin. Unfortunately, it doesn't always happen.
Where do you usually harvest the skin from?
You take the skin to make the urethra from what would have been the foreskin.
Exactly. Right. Mine was.
Okay. Now, if they did it from the foreskin, you shouldn't have hair on the inside of your urethra. So something is...
Can you examine skin and figure out if hair is going to grow there in the future?
No. No, but you just know. I mean, if foreskin doesn't grow hair. So, for some reason, do you have hair growing out of your urethra? You can see it?
Every once in a while, one will come out and I'll just... Fuck, it hurts like hell, but...
Yeah. Oh, that'll freak a chick out.
You know, one or two hairs, it's no big deal.
What's the surgery that you're talking about in the first place? I'm confused.
Hypospadias,
now we're out of time. I'm sorry, but we got to go to break. We talked about it before. Jeremy wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, I wasn't here the first hour.
Sorry, buddy.
It's half hour ago.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah. All right, the guys have had a few beers. Explain to them during the break. Bro. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Well, we just got a bomb dropped on us from Alter. He was his first patient. He's actually a gal. No, it's too much time. Gary Alter, the fabulous surgeon. You come back anytime.
Anytime you ask me, I'll be here.
I would always enjoy your company. Lit, what can I say? It's been too long.
Thanks for having us, man.
Go out and get the Lit CD. Go to www.litlounge.com and find out all the information where you can find the guy, tour dates, and all that good stuff. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Gary Alter saying mahalo.
Don't give me no back talk, sucker.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.